there, my running friend. This is Coach Claire Barthelic, the Planted Runner, and this is the Run to the Top podcast, one of the first and only running podcasts dedicated to making you a better runner with each and every episode. We are created and produced by the expert team of running coaches at runnersconnect.net, where you can find the best running information on the internet, as well as running coaching plans to fit every runner and every budget. If you are in the thick of training for a marathon, you've put in a lot of long, hard hours. You've boosted your endurance with plenty of long runs and sharpened up your speed in workouts. Race day is 3 weeks away, and you've just finished your longest and most difficult long run of your marathon training cycle. Now what? Welcome to Taper. Tapering is the concept of gradually decreasing your training so that you can reach the starting line fresh and at your peak. While the theory of tapering is relatively simple, there are a few pitfalls that runners can fall into in the final weeks before the big day. In this episode of The Run to the Top, I'm going to go over what the ideal taper should look like, how to make it work for you, and what to do with all that downtime you suddenly have. I'll also address the common mistakes that runners make during taper that can risk all the hard work you've done. We'll also cover the best guidelines for taper nutrition based on your size and needs. But don't worry about memorizing all of this as you listen, especially if you're on a run right now. We've got a free marathon nutrition guide that has all the calculations you need, and you can get it right now at runnersconnect.net/480. That's 480. I will mention that again, and of course, we will link it in the show notes. By the end of the show, you'll have all the knowledge you need to have a successful taper, setting you up for your best marathon yet. But first, I'd like to talk to you about Timeline Nutrition. Timeline has developed a groundbreaking product called MitoPure that actually revitalizes your mitochondria, which create energy in nearly every cell in your body. Later on in the episode, I'll explain the science, how it's been working for me, and how you can get a sweet discount. As you get closer to race day, you'll want to begin to taper off your training so that you start on the line fresh and fast. Your longest long run should be scheduled 3 weeks away from race day, and the next two long runs should get progressively shorter. The final 3 weeks of training before the marathon will do little to improve your fitness, since it's already built. But you certainly can harm your fitness in those weeks, so when in doubt, less is more. The first step in taper is to decrease your mileage. During taper, your overall weekly mileage should decrease 10 to 20% per week. But don't stop running completely or change your frequency of running. Your body hates sudden and drastic changes, so ease into it. You can start by trimming your normal easy runs during the week. Your long run is dropping down as well, so that's usually enough in the third week out. In the second week, all your runs are a little shorter, including your speed days. If that's not enough to drop your mileage by 10 to 20%, that's where you can add in a rest day. But of course, you should always add a rest day if you're feeling particularly tired, zapped, stressed, or fatigued. Your body treats all stress the same, so if you need a break, now's the time to take it. During the final week before the race, which is often called race week or taper week, many people take an extra rest day, but not everyone does. As I mentioned, your body loves predictable patterns, so many runners prefer to reduce mileage and keep their normal frequency. The next part of the taper puzzle is your taper workouts. Your workouts during taper should all be about practicing your marathon goal pace in various types of tempos. This is to burn marathon pace into your muscle memory so that it becomes second nature and your confidence builds. This period of time will also help tell you if your marathon pace goal is realistic. If your marathon pace tempos feel far too hard, you are probably being too aggressive with your marathon goal. Marathon pace should not feel easy unless this is your very first race, but it should not be super challenging for just a few miles. On last week's episode of The Run to the Top, I explained the 7 ways that you can tell if you are ready for your marathon goal pace, so be sure to check out that one as well. An example of taper workouts would be a 6 mile marathon pace tempo in week 3 before the race, a 2x3 mile tempo in week 2, and a 3 mile marathon pace tempo in race week. These all, of course, will include a mile or two of easy jogging for both the warm-up and the cool-down. If you are used to 2 speed days a week, or if you are a more advanced marathoner, you can add an additional taper workout in the 3rd week from the race. I like to have my athletes run what's called a taper cutdown. After a mile or two of warming up, run your marathon goal pace for 4 miles. Then, without stopping for a rest, run 4 more miles, just about as fast as you can, and then cool down for a couple miles. Those faster miles might be 30 seconds faster than your marathon pace, or they might not be all that much faster, but it gives you one less chance to blow out the tubes with a little speed. For the rest of the taper workouts, forget about going any faster than race pace. This is pace practice, not fitness building. Going too fast during taper can steal your speed on race day, so stay on target. The day before the race, a 15-minute slow jog is perfect to get the blood moving without spending too much energy. As you taper down your running, you should also be tapering down your strength training. Again, you should not be trying to change things up too much from normal during taper, just back off the length and intensity. So if you normally strength train twice a week, you should still do that in the 3rd and 2nd weeks out, but your routine should be shorter with fewer reps and lighter weights, if any. You should never lift to fatigue during taper. Stop strength training completely 10 days before your race. Fitness gains from strength work don't realize for about 10 days, and you don't want to risk any soreness or fatigue from lifting. It's important to remember that you cannot gain any fitness during taper week, but you certainly can hurt it by overdoing it. You're simply going through the motions so that your body is tricked into thinking everything is normal. If you are used to doing some mobility work, such as dynamic stretching, you can continue to do that as normal during taper, but now is not the time to add anything new. One common misconception is that once you back off your mileage and ease up on your workouts, that you'll suddenly feel fresh and springy. That can happen to some people, but many runners actually feel the opposite. Some of us just don't feel good during taper. We can get cranky and moody as we adjust to the change in hormone levels from running less. Some people even start to get sick because the immune system lets down its guard after months and months of hard training. Not feeling great happens to a lot of us because it takes 10 to 12 days to fully recover from hard workouts, which means you are not going to suddenly feel sparkly and peppy. Race week can do some crazy things to runners. Some people feel nervous and anxious about the big day. Without as much running scheduled to ease the mind, nerves can get a bit frazzled. We worry about losing fitness and gaining weight. We obsessively stalk the weather forecast, and we stress about making sure every last detail is taken care of. In other words, we get the taper tantrums. But with some good planning, you can maximize your time and your nutrition so that you are at your best on race day. I'll go over that right after this. Improving your mitochondria is one of the easiest ways to upgrade your performance and make your body work better. My friends at Timeline Nutrition have introduced a product called MitoPure that is the ultimate tune-up for mitochondria. Timeline Nutrition's MitoPure is backed by over a decade of research and is clinically proven to revitalize mitochondria. As you know, I've been adding it to my post-workout smoothies lately, and I love the energy boost that lasts the rest of the day. As we know, mitochondria are the energy generators at the heart of nearly every cell in our body, but new science is shedding light on more mitochondrial functions and greater understanding of their complexity is emerging. Researchers found that mitochondria sound the alarm when cells are exposed to stress or chemicals that could damage DNA, triggering your body's response. As we age and we eat too much and sit at our desks too much, our mitochondria deteriorate and our bodies suffer. MitoPure restores mitochondrial function so every cell in your body has the energy to do its job and keep you healthy and functioning right. MitoPure comes in powder form to mix into your favorite smoothie, protein powder if you're looking for a great 1-2 punch of muscle support, or in soft gels. Improving your mitochondria is one of the best things you can do for your health. And with MitoPure from Timeline Nutrition, it's never been easier. Go to Timeline Nutrition and use my promo code CONNECT for 10% off the plan of your choice. Over the last few months, you've heard me talk a lot about athletic greens and how adding a green supplement to my supplement routine has been a huge difference for me this year. Well, Athletic Greens has released a big update to the name of their flagship product. The Athletic Greens we love is now called AG1. With that said, we still get quite a few questions about how greens supplements work, how to take them, how they taste, etc. One big question we get a lot is taking a green supplement the same as eating whole fruits and vegetables? The simple answer is yes and no. Because AG1 dehydrates the fruits and vegetables and then grinds them into a powder, you still get the same vitamins and minerals and absorb them about equally. The one big thing you're missing is the fiber from whole fruits and vegetables. The benefits of a green supplement compared to whole foods are convenience, not having fruits and veggies potentially spoil, and variety. That's not to say that taking a green supplement replaces whole foods. Instead, think of them as a convenient insurance policy that also provides variety. Speaking of convenience, taking greens is as simple as adding a scoop of the powder into a glass of water. They mix easily and taste pretty good. Plus, it's a good way to keep up with your hydration needs. You can even add them to protein or fruit smoothies. This has become my favorite delicious post-workout routine on the weekends. If you're someone who struggles to get in all the fruits and veggies you need, or who wants to get more consistent but always falls off, or you end up finding tons of fruits and veggies gone bad in the fridge, AG1 will make it simple and delicious. If you want to try them out and get a special bonus of 5 travel packs and a year's supply of vitamin D, head to athleticgreens.com/RTTT. I know you'll love how easy it will be to finally be consistent with your fruit and veggie intake. Give it a try at athleticgreens.com/RTTT. Planning your nutrition for race week doesn't have to be too complicated. In general, you want to decrease calories slightly while keeping up the carbs. Because you are running far less in taper week than you did in training, you won't need as many calories. A mistake many marathoners make is not easing up on how much they eat, even though they are burning significantly fewer calories. Definitely eat when you are hungry, but be conscious of eating a little lighter. Your nutrition goal during taper is to load up your muscle glycogen stores without gaining fat from eating more and running less. But here's the thing, you should actually gain weight during taper. But ideally, that's from the extra glycogen and water that you are storing, not fat. Having plenty of fuel and hydration stored inside your body before the race is the goal. Don't be alarmed if you gain 2 to 4 pounds while carbo loading. I promise you, it's a good thing. The goal for carbohydrates should be to maintain a daily intake of 3 to 5 grams per pound of body weight. For a 150-pound athlete, this will be approximately 450 to 750 grams, which translates to 1,800 to 3,000 calories. Yes, that's a lot of calories, and it's a big range. So be sure to find a number that's relative to your overall caloric needs based on your body size and how much you run. While you are loading up on carbs, don't forget about the protein. Protein is needed to repair and reverse muscle damage and fatigue resulting from all your training. Athletes need more protein than sedentary people, so your goal is approximately 0.6 to 0.7 grams per pound of body weight. Going back to our example of the 150-pound athlete, this would be 90 to 105 grams of protein per day. This can easily be achieved by having a few servings of protein-rich foods. Many of your carb sources, like grains and beans, provide protein as well. One serving of pasta has about 42 grams of carbohydrate and 7 grams of protein. One slice of whole grain bread has about 20 grams of carbohydrate and 4 grams of protein. Now that you've got the carbs and the protein down, what about the fat? Well, in order to decrease calories but keep up the carbohydrates, you will have to trade some of the calories coming from fat for more carbohydrates. Good fats should still contribute 20 to 25% of your total daily calories, but since you will be eating fewer calories overall, this will mean fewer total grams of fat. Here are some of my favorite examples of swaps you can make to cut down on fat and increase carbohydrate. Pancakes with maple syrup instead of avocado toast. Pasta with tomato sauce instead of a rich, creamy sauce. A veggie salad with an extra dinner roll and vinaigrette instead of a full fat dressing. And my favorite, an extra plain baked potato with salsa or ketchup instead of the fatty toppings. The next thing you'll need to taper down is your fiber intake. While fiber is an essential part of any healthy diet, too much fiber can slow down digestion and cause GI issues on race day. Foods like white rice and potatoes are perfect in the 2 days leading up to the race to be sure that they are easily digested. Now, I know that's a lot of details to remember, especially if you are on a run right now. So, as I mentioned earlier, you can snag a free download to get the ultimate marathon taper nutrition plan at runnersconnect.net/480. Now, let's talk about hydration. We know that dehydration can significantly impair performance, but it's preventable with adequate hydration in the weeks, days, and hours leading up to the race. To ensure that you're properly hydrated, sip on fluids throughout the day. Water is sufficient, but juices and sports drinks can help you meet your carbohydrate needs if you're struggling to get in all your carbs from food. Adding salt and other electrolytes to your water or adding a little extra salt to your food can also help you retain water, which is normally something you don't want, but it's a great thing for marathoners. Drink when you're thirsty, but make sure that you are urinating every 2 to 3 hours and your urine should be pale yellow. If it is darker, then hydrate more. If it's clear, you are probably overdoing it. Overdrinking is a real issue for marathoners, so be sure that you do it right. The day before the race, it's smart to avoid alcohol. This might seem obvious, but even a small amount of alcohol can lead to dehydration and poor sleep quality, not what you need before the big day. You'll want to eat your biggest meal at lunch, not at dinner. Yes, it's a common tradition to have a big pasta dinner the night before a race, but eating this meal earlier in the day allows plenty of time for digestion. You don't want to be uncomfortably full on race morning, so try eating a big meal earlier and a normal-sized meal the night before. Always choose foods that you've had before. Now is not the time to try a new type of pasta or a sauce just because you're in a new town and heard about the great reviews. It could come back to haunt you. My favorite pre-race dinner is a plate of plain potatoes with ketchup. Yes, I know that sounds a little strange, but it worked for me. I could rely on that anywhere I traveled, and I knew that it would sit well with my stomach the next day. So now you've got a handle on your nutrition and your running plans for taper. The final piece of the equation is getting your mind ready. It is normal to feel anxious or nervous about the big day. After all, you've put in a ton of work just to get to the starting line. Now that you're running less, your mind has a lot more time to ruminate over all the things that went wrong in your training and all the things that could go wrong on race day. The key to handling that is not to avoid the negative thoughts, but to acknowledge them and then add a positive spin. For example, if you start thinking about that one long run that you missed or that time you couldn't hit your speed work on the track, accept those as facts. But then remind yourself that a good training block is built of many, many runs, and no single run is more important than any other. If you've been able to do your training moderately well, that's honestly enough, and it's far, far better than doing too much. The next step to overcoming those doubts and building confidence is to go over your running log, looking for all the runs that you did really well. The memories of a job well done can go a long way to quieting the negative thoughts. A couple of days a week, take some time to relax and visualize every detail of race day. Imagine yourself following your race plan perfectly. Also, imagine everything that can possibly go wrong. That way, you can prepare ahead of time and you won't be caught off guard. Planning for a great taper can make you feel fresh and ready when it's time to hit the starting line. Even if race pace felt a little tough on tired marathon legs, by the time you've recovered with a good taper, you are ready for the best marathon yet. One more time, you can download our free Marathon Taper Nutrition Guide at runnersconnect.net/480. That's runnersconnect.net/480. Next week, October 1st, 2021, we'll be taking a quick break from our Friday bonus episode as we welcome some new team members behind the scenes at the Run to the Top podcast. I certainly can't do all of this alone, so we're taking a few days off recording to get them up to speed. We'll still have our interview next week as planned, and it's all about everything you need to set yourself up for the perfect race day, so you won't want to miss it. Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast with me, Claire Bartholik, the Planted Runner. Our mission is to help you become a better runner with every episode. Connect with me on Instagram at The Planted Runner and at Runners Connect. Join the Runners Connect team at runnersconnect.net and support our show for free with a review on Apple Podcasts. If you love the show and want to get more free content in your inbox, become one of my favorite listeners and get the elite treatment at runnersconnect.net/podcast. Have a great run today.